Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Investments. Complicated? Not when you talk to a financial broker about a Zurich investment plan.
Changes to guidance around visiting nursing homes are coming into effect today. It means that children may now be able to visit their grandparents for the first time in months. For more on this, I'm joined by Mary Butler, TD, Minister of State for Mental Health and Older People. Good afternoon, Minister.
Good afternoon, Philip.
This is new guidance from the Health Protection Surveillance Centre. Why are they saying that it's okay now to visit your grandma, your granddad?
Well, I suppose as the disease becomes more suppressed in the community, NPHET has advised that gradual reintroduction of usual activities while taking public health precautions should commence. So what this means, you know, there's 30,000 residents in nursing homes, the length and breadth of the country, and this is their home from home. This is what they call home now. And we had to be very, very astringent with restrictions in relation to visitors for the past 4 months. Nursing homes closed to visitors on the 6th of March, and the reason that was done was to protect the most vulnerable who live in there. But thankfully today, because we have suppressed the disease in the community, we can move forward today. So there are some announcements which will be very, very welcome.
Okay. And what restrictions are going to be placed on people going to visit?
So restrictions that will be placed on people going to visit means that obviously they still will have to wear face masks, they still will have to have their temperature taken, and they still will have to adhere to best practice of the particular nursing home or facility they're visiting to. They won't be able to bring in food or drinks, and they're requested not to use the facilities in the nursing home if possible.
And can they give Granny a hug?
Unfortunately, no, not yet. But I think there will be limited visitations for children under supervision of an appropriate adult. But I do believe, because Granny may not have seen their grandchild for the past 4 or 5 months only through the window, that they will be just delighted. And look, it's a step in the right direction. We're trying to take a cautious approach here. But we're very, very conscious of the fact that the loneliness and the feeling of being confined felt by so many residents because they haven't seen their family for so long has to be paramount now. And we have to try and move to a new normality.
Even if you do limit the number of people in the room with Granny or Granddad, these are small rooms. Is there a limit on the amount of time that people can spend?
There is. So initially it was only 1.5 hour a week. So now it has moved to 1 hour a week. And initially also only 2 nominated people could visit the whole time every second week. So now those restrictions have been lifted. So more family members will be able to visit. And, you know, nursing homes will also look at it on a case by case basis, and they will be very conscious if somebody might be nearing the end of life, and they will be able to work with the family in those respects.
You didn't get a chance to address the HICWA report that came out last week, I believe, which had some pretty shocking findings about risk compliance, about infection control, about management and governance. Those that they visited were found to be uncompliant in 50% of cases very often. What did you make of the report?
I read the report with interest, and you know, I think it's very important that we do recognise that a huge amount of very good work does happen in nursing homes, and they're fantastic, dedicated staff across the whole country. I was concerned with certain aspects of the report. We're also waiting for the review as well, which has the minister received today. So we will be taking all these reports on board. Myself and Minister Donnelly will be sitting down, and we will be looking at them. Okay. There is no doubt about it. The pandemic bore down hardest on our older generation. 64% of all deaths occurred.
Yes. But the pandemic bore down hardest on those in private nursing homes, 50% higher rate of fatalities there than in the public setting. Were we wrong to outsource so much of the care of the elderly to the private sector?
I think only time will tell us that, but I believe, and this, I was very vocal on this before becoming a minister, I think where mistakes were made during March of April of this year, and we'll never know how the virus came into nursing homes, but so many people were discharged from the acute setting without being tested during March and April, and nothing will convince me otherwise that this was a significant factor in the amount of deaths in nursing homes. We also have to remember that it was on the 18th of April before masks became mandatory in acute hospital settings. settings. So there's a lot of things that we will have to learn, and there's a lot of things that we will have to look at, because we're facing the possibility of a second resurgence of the COVID.
And right now, as of the 29th of July, have every single private nursing home and public nursing home in the country got all of the PPE that they would need to deal with the possibility of a second wave?
Yes, to my knowledge, they all would have a 3-day supply currently.
And is a 3-day supply sufficient?
A 3-day supply is sufficient if you have an outbreak. Currently, there are 30 nursing homes in the country that would currently have an outbreak or would be coming towards the end of an outbreak. So once you have a 3-day supply, then you you contact the HSE and the supplies will be put in place very, very quickly. Obviously, the supplies weren't put in place as quickly in March and April because we didn't have the capacity. But now that has changed, and I'm happy to say that.
One of the things that emerged in response to the HICWA report was that Tadhg Daly of Nursing Homes Ireland on this programme appeared to suggest that if the private nursing homes were now going to have to beef up their clinical governance, bring an extra senior medical member of staff into each of the nursing homes, well, then that was something that they were going to look to the state for financial assistance on. Are you of the view that they already get enough money?
I'm of the view that nursing homes are private companies, and they negotiate with the National Treatment Purchase Fund in relation to each patient they have in their nursing home. Definitely, we are going to be looking at clinical governance. This is hugely important. What I learned in the COVID Dáil committee was that 80% of nursing homes are privately run, and that the HSE do not have oversight of these. So that's something I'm very, very concerned about. And also the fact that, you know, there's concerns also that the majority of patients in nursing homes would have their own GP, but that can come into, that causes difficulties then out of hours and at the weekends. So there are two of the areas that I'm really going to, we're really going to look at. There's a lot of a
really
huge body of work.
At, I mean, with a view to doing what, Minister? I mean, would you withhold licences from nursing homes that don't get their act together and do it PDQ?
Well, I'm not able to withhold any licences. HICWA has the authority and the autonomy to do that. But what we are going to look at now, we're going to take on board both reports. We're going to sit down and we're going to, what COVID has shown is that the care of our elderly has to be looked at. The care of our elderly in nursing homes has to be good at. But I do think we should also recognise that a huge amount of good work is carried on in our nursing homes also. And there's a lot of very, very good staff that have went far and beyond the call of duty. I conducted a survey myself in the early days of COVID, contacted nursing homes in the Munster area, for example, and spoke to an awful lot of owners and who were very, very distressed in the early days in relation to PPE and staff shortages. So we have an awful lot to learn, but I will be working constructively with Minister Donnelly to put in charge the measures that need to be put in. But clinical governance is hugely important for the whole sector.
Minister, I have to ask you about some of the other controversies of the day. Has this government got something against poor people? Because that's the conclusion that many would feel that they're being pushed towards now with the manner in which you dock dole and the PUP payment.
No, absolutely not. This government, far from it, has nothing against poor people. I suppose, look, I heard you talking there earlier about the PUP payment and those going on holidays, and I do accept the government could have communicated more effectively in relation to those that arrived at the airport and then found their PUP payment was docked. Absolutely. But I welcome the fact that there will be a review done of every single case now, and that anybody who is travelling on the green list, to green list countries, that's not going to be the case. But we must remember,
okay,
Philip.
Okay, well, are you happy to be part of a government that appears happy to sanction approaching anybody and everybody aborting a flight to Romania or to Brazil without any apparent legal, solid, reasonable grounds and pulling them aside and asking them about their welfare payments?
No, I'm happy to be part of a government that is recommending to anybody who was leaving the country that they should not be holidaying abroad, that they should be staying at home in the case of their health and welfare. And what we also must remember is,
are you happy that you can use as a tool a legally dubious, to put it very, very mildly, method of doing that.
No, but the point is that of the 2,500 claims that were stopped, my information is 90% of those claimants were no longer resident in the country. So at the same time, that has to be looked at carefully. But I do believe it was wrong that those who were taken a holiday for a week or 10 days and arrived at the airport and did not realise that their PUP payment could be stopped, that was not communicated well. And I'm glad that that has now changed.
And you're not really addressing the issue of whether you're happy or whether you think that it is reasonable enough to identify everybody boarding a flight to Romania as being worthy of investigation for welfare fraud.
I don't think it is reasonable without prior notification.
OK, so then you're saying that the way in which this has been conducted, that has been reported by a number of people who have experienced it firsthand, is not reasonable.
I believe it should have been handled in a different way, and I believe people should have had prior notice before they arrived at the airport if they were going on a holiday for a week or 2 weeks, against public advice, I might add. But I do believe that it should have been forewarned.
OK, so the government cocked it up then, is what you're admitting.
I believe the government should have handled it differently.
Do you believe that the government has been damaged by how slow it has been to address it?
I'm not sure whether the government has been damaged by this. You know, it's early days of government. I'm a minister of state in the Department of Mental Health and Older People, and my focus is on my brief and what I can do. I have a huge amount of issues facing me in relation to older people and mental health. And I just think we're all very busy concentrating on our own brief at the moment and trying to read into our brief.
I know, but you're a member of a government and you have to have an eye to what it is that they're doing.
Oh, absolutely.
And do you really think that this controversy has been nipped in the bud or headed off now by just making some tweaks to who can and can't travel to green list countries while in receipt of PUP payments?
Well, you see, you have to look at the reality of the situation. The pandemic unemployment payment was a short-term payment put in place to support those who had lost their jobs because of COVID. And the whole purpose of this pandemic unemployment payment is that you are making yourself available for work. Now, I welcome the fact that it has changed to the green list countries. I do welcome that. But again, I'll go back to the significant point that I would be advocating for anybody who's thinking of holidaying to holiday in Ireland and don't put them or their family at risk.
Okay. Is Rosslare Port sharing data about passengers with the state? Because it certainly appears to be in the case that was reported in the Irish Times today.
Philip, I honestly don't know. I haven't seen that article and I can't give you an honest answer because I genuinely don't know. I've been in meetings all morning with Family Carers Ireland and others.
Do you get any sense of urgency about that being addressed in government?
I'm not familiar with it. That's an honest answer.
You're not familiar with the details of this case at all, no?
No, I'm not familiar with the question you put to me about Rosslare sharing information sharing information of passengers. I'm not familiar with that.
All right. It was somebody who booked to travel on the ferry but then didn't travel, and they had their payment docked. They had their welfare payment taken away from them even though they didn't leave the country. So one logically assumes that the only way that that can have happened is that Rosslare Port passed passenger information on to the Department of Social Protection. That's Orwellian, isn't it?
Yes, and I would be extremely concerned if that was to be the case, and I think we should look into that immediately. If that is the case, I would be very, very concerned.
All right, Minister, thank you very much for your time this evening. We'll take a break.